Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Martin Luther said this years and years ago. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. See, there's a lot of thoughts you can't stop from getting into your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. The bird may fly over, but if it starts to make the nest, it's pretty easy. Get away, get away.
Our minds are the battlefield in spiritual warfare. When the enemy's fiery darts come soaring in, they are looking to ignite a blaze. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Be on guard and ready to take every thought captive by the power of the Holy Spirit. With more on following Paul's example out of Philippians chapter 3, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Father, we want to thank you again for your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us. We look again so much for you to touch our hearts, encourage us, and strengthen us in your word. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is The Mind That Matters. It's not mind over matter, it's the mind that matters. So many books have been written about mind over matter. So many books have been written about the power of positive thinking. And the vast majority, if not all, of the books that have been written on these topics are whack. They're as far out there as you can possibly get. Now, we all know and understand that, you know, getting a little bit better attitude can help your life, right? You've got a teenager in your home. You've probably had this conversation. You need a better attitude, young man, or you need an attitude adjustment because you'd make life a whole lot easier around here. And we know that. If they adjust their attitude, life does become easier. If, you know, you're positive, there may be some benefits to that. But that there's any power in positive thinking to actually change your reality is out there, as far out there as you can get. That your mind can create your own reality is just not true. We understand that. Now, let's just say it was true. Let's just say that if you had some positive thoughts, if you were really, really, you know, happy and thought well all the time, and you never let anything evil or bad come in, but it was just always good, nice thoughts, and you created your own little reality, and it was wonderful. Well, what about the guy next to you that created his thoughts through his reality, and he had horrible thoughts? His reality crept into yours. What about the guy behind you that when you cut him off, he has created an entire different reality than from you, and he runs into the back of your car because he's angry? What about the true fact that you're not always really happy and positive? That you say, yes, I am a happy, positive person. But once in a while, you're grumpy. And for some of you guys, you're always grumpy. I don't know what it is. Having positive thoughts or good thoughts to try to create your own reality. If that were the real way your reality was going to be created, you'd say, I'd give up because mine's going to be an awful, horrible reality. The truth is, and we realize that, that's out there. And what's really funny is you'll run into some professor from the school that will mock our students for being Christians. You guys believe in the cross? You believe in Jesus? Ah, what an idiot you are. I believe if I wear this crystal that the energy will get into my life and I will be... What? You mock the cross and you believe in the energy of Sedona? You know, you believe that somehow the crystal's going to make your life better? And you say, well, I'm a scientific person. Really? How many scientific studies have shown energy coming out of your crystal? How many of them? Because there's none, I'll tell you that. But you'll mock the cross. It reminds me of Pastor Chuck who said, it never ceases to amaze me what men will believe once they have rejected the truth. Now, I'm not denying that you and I need to control our thoughts. I'm not saying that there are certain things that you may be thinking about that you need to change. That's what we're going to look at in our text today. It's the mind that matters. It is what you're thinking about. See, some of us think we're subject to our minds. Wherever our minds go, we got to follow. If my mind's going to think about that, then I got to think about that. When you don't have to. It's like television. Just because it's on doesn't mean you got to watch it, right? You think, well, I was watching it. Why'd you watch that show? It was on. Okay. There's something called a remote control. Most people have them now. You actually press the button and it changes the channel. You could find something good to watch instead of the junk. It was on, so I watched it. A lot of our minds are that way. We do that. I don't know why I thought about it. I was thinking about it. So I thought about it. Just kept thinking about it. You don't have to. You can control your thoughts. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is, this world is conforming. It's why if you take someone that's lived in Tucson for 20 years, and you get other people that lived in Tucson for 20 years, we have a tendency to start thinking the same. Because our worldview, from the perspective of Tucson, conforms us into a certain image. Where people in China don't feel, think the same way. Because their worldview has conformed them a different way. Or Pakistan, or Russia, or wherever you want to go. Your worldview, from where you're at, it's pressure, it conforms you. But the Bible says, don't be conformed by any of it. Don't let the world and the pressure of the world conform you into any kind of image, but be transformed by renewing your mind, by thinking about what's right, what's good, what's pure, what's holy. We're going to learn later on in the book of Philippians. Paul also wrote and said, take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. You do not have to let your thoughts take you wherever they go. You can control what you think about. I know it's for some, it's like, no, when I get caught up in a thought, I can't get rid of it. It's like it's there in my mind. Listen, Martin Luther said this years and years ago. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. There's a lot of thoughts you can't stop from getting into your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. The bird may fly over, but if it starts to make the nest, it's pretty easy. Get away. Get away. The same is true with our thoughts. You might not be able to stop a thought from going through your mind, but you can stop it from building a nest in your brain. You can get away. A lot of it is replacement. A lot of it is, if I tell you, you know, you're struggling with something, and you think, I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm not going to think about that anymore. And every time you think about it, not thinking about it, you're thinking about it. So it becomes worse. And sometimes it even leads people into sin. I talked to a guy one time who said, I had just got done praying that I wouldn't get drunk. And then I got up and I was tempted to drink because I've been praying about getting drunk. And then I said, I'm not going to drink. But every time I thought about drinking, I thought about the alcohol. Next thing you know, I got drunk. He goes, I don't know why that happened. Well, because you're consumed with it. It's like if I tell you today, don't think about the color blue. Now stop thinking about blue. No more, all right? Don't think about blue. And you go, well, every time you say blue, I'm thinking about blue. That's the point. And I see some of you guys have some nice blue clothes on. Even as I say, don't think about blue. What pops? The blue. That's what I'm looking at. Don't think about blue. Boom. There you are. Blue, blue, blue. Okay, there it is. Now, if I say instead, what's 530 times 3? And then divide that by 2. What is that? Now, some of you guys already have it. Some of you guys got those mathematical minds, but let me just let you into my world. This is going to be a little scary. Here's how I would do that math. I would go, all right, 530 by 3. 3 times 5 is 1,500, and 3 times 30 is 90. So 1,590. Got the first step. I got to divide that by 2, 1,500 by 90. 1,500 and a half is 750. No, 8. It's 750. So 750, and then I got to get the 90 and 45, so it's 795. 795! Now, was that right? No? Okay, that's my world, all right? Just wanted to let you know. That's my world, all right? But there's one thing that I will guarantee you that I didn't think about as I came to the wrong number. You know what I didn't think about? The color blue. We take every thought captive by thinking about whatever is true, whatever is holy, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable. You know, you go into bed tonight and you have some lustful thoughts and you think, I don't know what to do. And I say, well, you know what? When that happens, pick your Bible up and read it. And you go, well, I feel guilty. And I had those thoughts. I'm going to pick my Bible up and read it. But don't you see that that's exactly what you need to do? You pick it up and you read it and you get the Word of God in you. You start thinking about what's there. You start applying that. It's only the enemy that's going, stay away from that stuff. Don't do that now. How dare you even get after you thought about that or did that? How dare you get? No, do what's right. Call out upon God and begin to get your thoughts captive. Now, the mind is the battlefield. That's where the enemy's fighting you. The Bible says that Satan himself shoots fiery darts into our mind. Now, if I'm deer hunting with the bow and arrow, and I want to shoot a deer with an arrow, I'm looking for vitals, right? That's what you want to do. You want to hit the vitals. But if I were in an ancient battle and I had a bow and arrow with a lit arrow on it and I was shooting it, I'm not shooting for vitals, am I? I just want to catch anything on fire. If I saw a thatched roof somewhere, boy, boom, boom, that's what I want. I want to hit that because I want the thing to catch on fire. So as Satan shoots fiery darts into your mind, he's not looking for vitals. He's just looking to catch your mind on fire. He's looking to all of a sudden here comes a fiery dart. Fubudunk. Your husband doesn't love you. My husband doesn't love me. Now your mind's on fire. You run around everywhere. The enemy, boom, another fiery dart. Boom. Your husband was just flirting with that waitress. You were flirting with the waitress. And your mind is caught on fire. And for a lot of us, the enemy just shoots the fiery darts in and shoots them in and shoots them in and shoots them in. We go wherever. What does the Bible say, though? The shield of faith puts out the fiery darts of the enemy. That's God's word. So if Satan, if the battlefield is the mind, and we see that clearly with Eve. Eve is tempted. What does Satan say to her with the temptation? Has God said you can't eat of any of the trees in this garden? Now he suddenly questions God. God created all these trees. You can't eat of any of them? And Eve says, well, we can eat of any of the trees in the garden we want to, but not the one in the middle. We can't eat it or touch it lest we might die. But that all that was wrong because God had said nothing about touching it. She could have climbed it. She could have hung upside down in it if she wanted to. God had said, don't eat it or you will die. She said, God said, don't touch it or eat it because we might die. See, she didn't stay true to God's word. That change led her into a fall eventually. Now, Satan, when he tempted Jesus, it was the same kind of a thing. The battlefield was the mind. The attack was on the word of God. If you are the Son of God, right? Question, if you are the Son of God, then turn these rocks into bread. Jesus said, the word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself off of this pinnacle. The Bible says that his angels will pick you up, and so lest you dash your foot against a stone. The Bible also says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Well, took him to a mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Which, by the way, how the enemy have the power to show all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time? Seems like there might be some, the spiritual realm, some time aspects as well, which is just interesting, just as a little side note. But Jesus said, the Bible says you should worship the Lord God and him alone, should you worship. And then away from me, Satan. And the devil left him for a more opportune time. Jesus, the battlefield was the same with Eve. Jesus was true to the word of God. Jesus had victory. Eve was not true to the word of God. And so she ended up having defeat. Both of them had the word of God. One stayed true with it. So we know the battlefield is our mind. So how important is it for us to get our minds where they need to be allowing in our minds what we know needs to be in our minds? It's extremely important. Now, three times in our text, you see it here in chapter 3 of Philippians, look at verse 15. It says there in the middle of 15, have this mind. We'll talk about what this mind is in a moment. At the end of 16, he says, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. The word mind here in the Greek means thought processes. So let's have the same thought processes. So let's be of one mind. Jump ahead to verse 19, where it says in the very end, well, let's start in the beginning, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. And some people have bigger gods than other gods. And whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. They set their mind, their thought processes, on earthly things. Now let's start with verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He first of all says, as he's writing to the Philippians, who he loves, he knows almost all of them. If there's anybody Paul doesn't know, they got to be new Christians. Paul founded the church. He's been there with them. He knows them. He knows where they are. If there's anybody doesn't know, as I said, they're going to be new. And he says, you guys are mature. And if you're mature, then you're going to have the same mind. Well, what's this? Paul just said it. He said, this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I press on towards the goal, towards the prize, towards the upward call of God. I press on. And then he says, those of you who are mature, you need to have the same mind. Doesn't matter where you've been. Remember we talked about that? It doesn't matter how successful you've been. If you have failures in the future, all your successes don't matter. Doesn't matter if you've had a bunch of failures in the end, if you have successes in the future. So what matters is where we're going, not where we've been. And so Paul says, if you guys are mature, this needs to be your mindset as well. Let's not waddle around in the past. Let's not waddle around in the mire of the past. Let's not glory in the victories of the past. Let's turn forward. And let's press on. And the word for press there, remember we talked about it, is the word for the end of a race, when someone puts a little extra in. Any of you guys ever run track? When you get to the end, the coach says, kick your knees, right? Kick your knees, kick your knees. You need to put everything you've got into it, because if you're ever going to put all your energy out there, it needs to be now. That's pressing on. Paul's at the end of his life. He's going to die within 2 years of writing Philippians. And he says, I press towards the goal. I'm kicking my knees. I'm putting everything I've got into it. As many of you as are mature, you have this same mind. And then I love, he says, and if you don't think this, then even God will show you this. Now, I love that little aspect of the end of verse 15. If you don't think it, God, even God will reveal this to you. Because in essence, Paul's saying, if you don't think this, you're wrong, and God will show you. God will straighten you out. See, sometimes us pastors need to try to persuade people that we are right and they are wrong. And you ever been in a study like that? Where the guy keeps going over and over and over again, the very same stuff that he's covered already. And he's got a kind of a feeling like, I need to get this through. And he goes on, and he's way past time. You ever had that happen? I've had it happen. You know how to solve that problem? You got to somehow send him a signal that you're getting it. You need to smile and nod. Maybe give him a little thumbs up. Yeah. Good. We all got it. Now, shut up. It's good for me to know that if you love the Lord, I don't need to persuade you. I just need to tell you the truth. And if you disagree with me, well, God will show you sooner or later. Because you're part of one of God's kids. And God does that. That's what God does with his kids. He brings them around to where they're thinking right. Right? So if any of you don't think that way, God will get you sooner or later. I love it. He just ends it there. Then he says in verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained. Now, there's different degrees there. Some of you guys are new Christians. You don't know very much about God, and that's okay. It's a good place to be. You're just starting. Some of you guys are older Christians, and you're not very mature. That's not a good place to be. By now, you ought to be teachers, and the writer to the Hebrews said, but you need somebody to teach you again the elementary principles of the gospel. Some of you guys are very mature. To whatever level you've obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Doesn't matter where you're at in your maturity level. Let's walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the importance of us having the same mind, but I do want to touch on it for a little bit. We talked about it in chapter 1, you remember, that one of the ways the enemy wants to tear our church apart is by dividing us, that the enemy even sends in people to divide us. Paul, when he met with the church at Ephesus and he knew he was leaving them for the last time, Paul said, ravenous wolves are going to come in from the outside, try to tear you apart, and men are going to rise up from within you and draw people to themselves. Well, that happens. It happens here. People come from the outside and they're ravenous wolves. And by the way, for us in leadership, they're the easiest ones to identify. We see them, we know it, it's kind of easy to get rid of them. But someone who rises up from within us, you go, well, they've been here for years. And now all of a sudden they're trying to build their own little kingdom. That's the hardest for us to spot. That's the hardest for us to deal with. Now, we deal with it. Why do we deal with it? Because I don't want our church divided. Because I want us to be able to do the work that God's called us to do. We can't do it if we don't have the same mind. Now, we're going to believe certain things differently. There are some things that I say, and you guys go, I don't really agree with that. Right? Hey, I was listening to myself on the radio a couple years ago, and I said something that was wrong on the radio. And I said, I don't agree with that guy. That guy was me. So there are times I don't agree with me. The me now doesn't agree with the me from 5 years ago or however long ago it was that study was there. So if I don't always agree with me, then it stands to reason you're not always going to agree with me, right? But we agree together on the fundamentals. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that he was born of a virgin. We believe that the word of God is our authority and has been protected and passed down to us by God, according to Psalms chapter 12. We believe in those things. We believe in spreading the gospel. We believe that we are called by God to be light to a dark world and salt to a corrupt world, right? We have those in common. Now, I want to tell you the fact that all of you guys in here were nodding your heads at me when I was asking you, right? I was getting the response. You know what that makes us? This is going to be the media uses this as a dirty word, okay? It makes you and me evangelical fundamentalist.
Whoa. Heard about those guys on the news. Evangelical fundamentalist. Well, that's us.
Why? Because we believe in spreading the gospel. That's what makes us evangelical. And we believe in the fundamentals. We believe in the virgin birth, the resurrection, the authority of the scriptures. And we can go on about the few other fundamentals. Since we believe all those together, you can have some differences and I can have some differences. Because we can agree on these things. I mean, when you go to work, some of you guys work at Honeywell. Some of you guys work at Hughes. Some of you guys work at Subway. You go to work and you get together with the other people and you put all your differences aside. You may radically disagree with some of the people around you. But you put all those things aside to build years past, the Tomahawk missile or whatever else it is that you're making, right? That you can't tell us about, okay? You put all those differences aside so you can build that. Or in your Subway, you stand next to somebody, you disagree with everything on him. I mean, you disagree with everything. His lifestyle, he's totally completely different than you. Disagree on everything, but you guys work together to build a chicken club. That's your goal at that moment. Don't agree with each other on anything, but you guys have come together with the same mind to build the chicken club. Now, you and I, we have something far more important than chicken club, right? Far more important than a Tomahawk missile. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about souls being saved and given eternity. Therefore, we ought to be able to put differences aside to say, we agree with this. We have a goal. And so Paul, once again, as he does so many times in this book, says, have the same mind. A couple years ago or so, we had to remove a couple people from the church that rose up from among us and began to draw people to themselves. They were divisive. It became evident that they were divisive. By the glory of God, it was revealed almost immediately when they got really divisive. The Bible says of a divisive person, warn them once, warn them twice, and then get rid of them. So basically, it's a 3-strike rule. When someone's divisive, you warn them. If they're divisive again, you warn them again. When they're divisive the last time, that's it. They've had their third strike, they need to go. So both of these guys, we removed them. We said, you can't come back to the church anymore. One of the guys go, you can't tell me I can't come back to the church. It's a public place. Which I laughed. You think the city owns our church? Is that what you think? You think that state and the church are somehow and that you've got a right to come here? I said, you don't. This is private. It's all private. And we don't run around telling people, you can't come. You can't come. You can't come. You can't come. We're powerful. You're not. You can't come. We don't do that. Why? Because one day I have to answer to God, right? But when I see a divisive individual, even though it's hard to deal with, it'd be a lot easier just to ignore it. It'd be a lot easier to hope, oh, I hope this goes away. Hope this person stops it. But I've learned a long time ago, it's like the cancer thing. You got to cut it out. You got to get rid of it. And it's hard to do that, but it's got to be done. So we removed them. The other guy said, well, you got a Matthew 18 me. Which the Bible says, if someone offends you, go to him with one, with two, and then bring him before the church. So what he wanted to do was stand up in front of you guys and tell his story to you guys. And in my mind, and say this to him, but in my mind, I think, you think I'm giving you the pulpit? Are you nuts? You're trying to undermine the work here, and you want to get up here? I said, Matthew 18 is for offenses. Okay, there's another passage that talks about divisive people. That's the one we're dealing with. So we want to make sure that we watch out for the body dividing, because we're not going to be able to work together if we can. If the two guys at Subway making the chicken club are fighting about something, they're not making the chicken club. If you and I are arguing about all kinds of other things that are peripheral issues, then we're not moving forward for the sake of the gospel, and that's what we're called to do.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D @calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram @CalvaryTucson or Facebook @Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.